Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Deport from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, why Europeans minimize the continent of Africa and marginalize the people of African descent. people of African descent are said to have been the progenitors of the sciences, agriculture, astronomy, medicine, architecture, culture, literature, and invention. Now they appear to have been marginalized. Marginalization has long been a method of validating cruel and unusual treatment of Africans. Remember the creation of race, the social hierarchy supported by the pseudoscience that diminished the value of African life in order to validate European enslavement of African peoples. From AfricanAmerica.org, the Arab slave trade. So I'm going to mention that slaves were taken in Africa amongst the tribes. So we didn't get that out the way. But you're not going to stay too much on this on what African peoples did, or in terms of marginalizing each other, because they play a role in it. And I'm going to hit on some of that with some of this, right? So we got the Arab slave trade, right? Arab slave trade was the longest yet least discussed of the two major trades. It began in the 7th century AD as Arabs and other Asians poured into northern and eastern Africa under the banner of Islam, either converting or subjugating the African societies they came upon, right? Arabs worked the slave trade in East Africa. They were the first outsiders to settle in Bagamoyo. This town was the exit terminal for the slave caravans from the area around the lake of Tanganyika, far inside the country, and a three-month route, right? Livingstone began his travels there, too. That's that Livingstone guy, that explorer, right? European explorer, right? Anyway, he estimated that 10 slaves died for every one that made it to Bagamoyo. 10 to 1. That's actually murder. From the BBC, what was the transatlantic slave trade? The transatlantic slave trade is the name given to the forced enslavement and movement of people from Africa to the approximately 12 to 15 million people were forcibly transported from their homeland in Africa to the plantations of between 1500 and 1870. That's in the Americas, right? North, south, middle, whatever you want to call it, right? That's every Brazil, you know, the islands, North America. I think I read 7% came here. Oh, something like that. It was the most of them went somewhere else. Anyway, used in America to produce goods such as tobacco, cotton, sugar, and dye, right? Exploitation of enslaved people made many Europeans, including the British, extremely wealthy. It is estimated that the British slave ships made around 10,000 voyages across the Atlantic, transporting approximately 3.4 million people, of whom only 2.6 million survived the journey. British port cities like London, Liverpool, and Bristol expanded due to the wealth acquired by their new, you know, involvement in the slave trade. The transatlantic slave trade involved the mass transportation of African people to support economic growth in European countries, right? So how did it begin? In 1492, you know, Columbus sailed across the Atlantic, didn't fall over the edge of the earth, and not that he expected to. Anyway, he sailed under the Spanish crown and arrived in the Caribbean. Everybody knows what he did. He immediately saw gold, immediately started killing and raping the Haitiano people there, right? Burning them, hanging them over fire, cutting their hands off, raping and doing things like that, right? They forced people into enslavement, mining for gold and silver and producing crops. This allowed European countries to increase their power and expand their empires. From 1500 onwards, Portuguese and Spanish traders began to take enslaved West and Central African people to the new colonies in the Americas. The transatlantic slave trade began, and it would continue for over 300 years. According to a historian, enslaved people crossing the Atlantic outnumbered free European 4-1. African men and women and children were kidnapped from countries including modern-day Nigeria, Ghana, Sierra Leone, and the Democratic Republic of the Congo. They were captured and raised by slave traders or sold by African leaders following local conflicts. When they had tribal wars in Africa, the loser got enslaved, right? So in comes the Europeans. They say, hey, I'll give you this to him, right? So if it did, I guess it's their enemy. I guess they didn't see anything in giving these people away to these Europeans. They say, anyway. Enslaved people were chained together in groups and taken by boat to West Africa waterways to the coast. Here, traders would wait to sell enslaved peoples to European traders, right? So that's a short story, right? And you can't get more marginalized than that. Not that Africans and their descendants have a monopoly on slavery, as I said, right? But slavery and the plantation mentality still appears to have a direct impact on the prosperity, unity, and power of African peoples and their descendants everywhere. Everywhere they are on earth, they appear to be amongst the oppressed and marginalized, disproportionately at the bottom of the socio-economical totem pole. The lack of unity and vision eludes them. Power seems almost a delusion, but is it really? What these African people lacked was unity, a sense of identity and ethics. Sounds like us today. No man has the right to enslave any man. And selling enslaved Africans to European slave merchants, Africans further weakened the strength of Africa, setting themselves up for European invasion, rape, exploitation, and extermination. Got to do your own research because we could be here all for the rest of our lives discussing the things that I just said. That's the short story. Some say it was a curse from the Creator for disobedience and forsaking and abandoning, ignoring the Creator. And some people say that that's why these slaves were taken, or at least someone was taken into bondage. And they refer to Deuteronomy in the Bible or the Torah, Deuteronomy 12-68. That's where I'm just, and I'm not going to read all of that because there's a lot. We'd be here all night. And it said basically and the Lord shall open unto thee this good treasure to the heaven to give the rain only to thy land in his season and to bless all the work of thy land. And thou shalt lend unto many nations and thou shalt not borrow. This is the Creator speaking to Israel, the Hebrew Israelites, right? After that, they came out of Egypt, I think. And there's a mixed multitude of people at that time. Moses is leading that gang. Anyway. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I commanded thee this day, to do as I tell you to do, and I'm going to make you a mighty nation. That's basically what he's saying right there, right? But if you don't, if you shall not hearken, go to 15, right? You don't hearken to the voice of the Lord. Here's some things that's going to happen to you. Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. Cursed shall thou basket and thy store, right? Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thine kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. I don't know why they wrote this in the Shakespeare language. The Lord shall send upon thee curse and vexation and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do until thou be destroyed and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me, right? So because if you don't listen to the Creator, he said, hey, look, I got your back. I need you to do this here, and I got you. And they didn't do it. You don't do it. You're gonna have some hard times, and some other stuff. I'm just skipping around. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Your enemies are gonna take you. Your land's not gonna bear vegetation enough to feed you. Right? Like very important. Because it is relevant to Africa at this time, right? And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air. So that's just somebody just lying on the ground like a dead cat or something, right? The Lord shall smout thee with madness, blindness, and astonishment of heart. Astonishment of heart, we got a lot of that today, right? And thou shalt grope at noontime, right? As the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. So you stand on the corner at noontime, just there doing nothing. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell in it. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, right? And thou shalt not gather the grapes thereof. That's just slavery, right? It's one of the fruits of slavery, if you want to call it a fruit, you know, if you are enslaver. You can take a slave's wife, have her, send her back to her hut, right? He's going to build you whatever you want him to build, and you're not going to live in it because that's going to be the master's house or his kid's house, whatever. Anyway, thou oxen shall be slain before thy eyes, and thou shalt not eat of it. Thou ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face. And shall not be restored to thee. But you're going to lose everything, right? The sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thy eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. And there shall be no might in thy hand. You have no power, right? The food of thy land and of thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. Everything you do, somebody's going to take it from you, right? I don't know if y'all know about a lot of inventions. A lot of things done in this country done by black folks, and it was taken from them. And, of course, in slavery, everything, every move you made belonged to your captor, right? Go on 36. I'm still skipping around. And the Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. Now I don't know, that's idol worshiping. So you get anybody bowing down to these statues of all these supposedly gods? They say you're not supposed to do that. So that's any kind of thing you make, any physical thing you make in reference to God. You're not supposed to be bowing down to those things. They don't. That's not God. That's a thing that you made. Like a G.I. Joe doll or something like that. So anyway, and thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword amongst all nations. Right? So it all goes on. Thou shalt be got sons and daughters. Thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. Right? Slavery again, right? Thou stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high. Right? And thou shalt come down very low. So there's some other people with them who rose up above them, right? So I don't know who those people were, but it was a stranger, and they basically were made low, right? He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail, which kind of, so are there some Europeans in the crowd there? I don't know. I'm just saying the main purpose I'm reading this is the curses that people say, why black people are being marginalized, right? Moreover, All the curses shall come upon thee, and thou shalt pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearken not to the voice of the Lord God, right? So you keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commands you, right? Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemy, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. Another description of what happened in slavery, right? The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flyeth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, right? In slavery, I think on the main, some of the, three of the languages of the slaves, Swahili, see if I get this right, Hebrew, and Arabic, right? So, and he shall eat the food of thy cattle and the food of thy land until thou be destroyed, right? Taking everything away from you, right? So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother and toward his wife and his bosom and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave. A lot of that going on right now, right? The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not venture to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom and toward her son and toward her daughter. That means that the family structure would be just diminished, right? Marginalized. Not giving up any value of any work, right? Goes on with a whole lot of things. He goes, and this will come to pass that the Lord rejoiced, as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. And ye shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter thee amongst the people from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone, right? Idolatry, right? And among these nations thou shalt find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shalt have none assurance of thy life. See, we didn't reach that right about now. All this violence going on in our community. You might have thought that it couldn't get any worse, but here we are. And the Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships by the way whereof I spoke unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and there ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. Okay, so that hurts. It says that these people of African descent who the Creator spoke to are sentenced to a condition of marginalization and suffering and captivity for disobedience. So why are black people, you're just bringing that into why are black people marginalized? Some people may come with this as an exploration. Deuteronomy 28, right? It's 60. I just use 28-68. I just use these. This is a whole lot. I mean, you get the Bible's vast, document, so or writings and things like that. I just use these 12-68. And I didn't read all of them, but you get my drift. So somebody could say, that's why. And somebody might use that to even validate enslavement of black people, marginalizing black people. Say, hey, Creator did it. I ain't doing it. I'm just doing what Creator told me to do, right? So what is the value of black life in America? This is posted by a guy named Kevin Webb. I thought it was interesting. He talked about exploited, marginalizing exoticized the American majority since first reaching the Western Hemisphere. The role of the black body in Western history is unquestionable. Even as black women became the face of beauty products and Bond girls, and black men set new standards for physical proudness, their bodies remain a commodity to be bought, traded, and appraised to the end of others. Basically, people made more off of that, them doing that, than they did, right? So the end all was to create wealth for their oppressors, right? America is a country founded on free labor from the slaves, right? And it's maintained by the capitalist spirit, right? No surprise that the systemic killing of millions of blacks is overlooked by white politicians who believe that the opportunity to live in America is an equal trade. It should come to no surprise that blacks were once counted as three-fifths a person for electoral purposes, or that in 2013, the president of the major university would identify that decision as an ideal compromise. Well, it should be no surprise, right? I mean, anybody surprised that some president, and you can imagine what that guy looked like, right? The potential, the portrayal of African-American children as gator bait is something that lasted for decades after slavery. The gator bait, that means they catch alligators by throwing a child out there for the alligator to come up and get. He grabs a kid, bam, or not, and they get the alligator, right? So he's got the kid in his mouth. They do a thing with the alligator, so. They're using a child instead of a chicken, and even that's cruel even for a chicken, but I mean, hey. Unfortunately, awareness is lacking on both sides of the issue, he says. Black people are unable to recognize the ways in which they are marginalized and stereotyped by the media, right? And you've laid that to the rap media, the sexual exploitation of women, and men in the media, you understand? So, you know, stereotyped as everybody's thug, aggressive, just in a trauma state of mind all the time, you know what I'm saying? So just time bombs waiting to go off. So anyway, European standards of beauty and masculinity are imposed upon African Americans from birth, regardless of how impossible they are to obtain. And so today we see a lot of women wearing wigs, long straight hair, fine hair, wigs and things like that. So that's a European standard. Black women who do pass the threshold into stardom are viewed as exotic, a rare beast to be obtained and conquered. Black men, regardless of stature, are feared for their perceived hyper-masculinity, even as white-led media outlets do their very best to perpetuate this stereotype. African-Americans are transformed into commodities for the purpose of continuing the great American capitalist tradition. All right, so then he goes on to talk about this is why the death of a 16-year-old black boy at the hands of police or the murder of an infant can be forgotten with the wave of a hand. The Newtown, Connecticut murders held weight because they disturbed the image of the ideal white America, whereas every murder in the urban jungle of Chicago is simply added to the tally. In the public eye, black lives are only as valuable as the attention they earn. So, from the public library, they basically talk about there have been major achievements in the civil rights era, indicating significant advancement. Okay, we can drink out the same, use the same toilet, drink out the same water fountain as white folks, and eat at the same counter, get married a white girl. That's not really an achievement. You know what I'm saying? I guess it's something, but I mean, that cannot be the height of black achievement, drinking out the same water fountain as a white person. A total bottom position of an entire race can not only be maintained by individual and political action, and has therefore been integrated in the design of institutions such as the criminal justice system and housing and educational segregation, right? You know, a lot of people who are incarcerated don't have, there's a lot of people incarcerated that have, they're illiterate, right? Which, and then we have a poor education system, which today students don't seem to be taken advantage of. Because you have to take advantage of the master of the system you have in front of you, and then complain. Don't take advantage of it. And well, they're not even complaining. I don't hear any complaints. But anyway, saying that housing, you know, they're just discriminated against, right? We know all about this discrimination thing that's been going on, bed lying, just people just not allowing you to go where you want to go because of the color of your skin. Those institutions have been created to push African-Americans to the bottom of society and ensure the bottom position of African-Americans today, right? As negative images surrounding African-Americans are maintained and upward mobility is significant portions of African-Americans highly impaired and reversed by those institutional implications. If you don't have education, right, housing and stuff, it's hard to even function if you don't have decent housing. You can't, you know, you don't know where you're going to be laying your head out. You don't know if you're going to be out of your house. You know, it's just a lot of things that creates a lot of trauma, and it's hard to use your frontal lobe, right? Harder, more difficult, not impossible, right? Anyway, the criminal justice system are consciously and unconsciously having a high toll on African Americans, right? Maintaining the entire race as scapegoats in terms of negative trends and in the times of recession, and maintaining privileges to a much larger extended enjoyed, much larger extent enjoyed by white Americans. African American economic, social, and political position continues to benefit mainstream society in all areas. So every time black man makes a lot of money, there's a European that's making a whole lot of money, right? That's what they're saying, right? All right, therefore, it's not helping the black folk, right? Therefore, mainstream society is not striving and fighting as hard for a total, just, and equal society. And this would mean sacrifices on their behalf. Well, you're talking about somebody giving up power. Hey, you want a piece of the cake? I got a nice big piece of the cake. I've been getting a big piece of the cake for centuries. Now you want me to give you a sizable chunk of my cake. And I'm greedy. I'm a narcissist. I'm a capitalist. I'm not giving you nothing. That's why China, you have a lot of things made in China, because they don't want to give it to you. You want too much. It's not that you want too much, you want more than they want to give you. That's too much, right? Therefore, certain rights have been given to African Americans over time as to maintain stability and relative satisfaction among the African American population within the society. We call that, what's the word we got for that? How can I forget that word? What do we call it? Pacification, right? It looks like somebody, it looks like progress, but it's positive pacification to stop you from doing something they don't want you to do, right? So it might be uniting, because sometimes hard times cause people to unite. However, those rights are always positioned within certain boundaries that will thwart a system designed to mostly benefit and privilege whites, right? So that this person saying basically even the success that African Americans have in this country benefit the white controlling class, the wealthy, right? Furthermore, other variables such as discrimination that we know about, right? African Americans in all spheres and a poorer situation for African Americans when earning the same income as white. So, right? So even if you do earn the same income as a white, you might not be able to get to the same place as a white person get, right? Because you've got this discrimination thing going on, right? That red line thing, that thing, I'm just not going to let you move, and it's not you, right? Anyway, goes on to say that politically, African-Americans striving for the development of African-American communities are unfortunately neither heard nor appreciated within the white-dominated political environment. Although, if elected, Obama might be able to challenge some of the overt injustices. Woo! Now, that's hot right there, because that's a show all by itself, right? It said the society has a long way to go for its African-American citizens to be completely equal to its white citizens. That's right. That you wouldn't have this Black Lives Matter thing if it didn't, right? Ahmaud Arbery would not have been ran down and murdered in broad daylight by three white men if that wasn't the case, right? And they'd had no interaction with this brother. Anyway, wow. I said to my good friend, Obama is not the president of black people. He is the president of the United States of America. It is the same America that these authors are complaining about, not listening, hearing, or caring about the suffering of the African American. African Americans make up about 13% of the population. That is just enough to tip the scale in favor of a candidate. I don't think Obama was willing to take one to the head for this bunch of Negroes. Maybe in a strange twist of fate, some African Americans have marginalized other African Americans. It's not a novel concept. Once we realize that we are under attack, maybe we will begin to attack our marginalized situation. After all, we are somebody. I keep reminding people of Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Black Street, or Black Wall Street, right? That's not the only Black Wall Street, but that's the one I like to talk about, right? Anyway, that's not the only one, though. That was a self-contained community of peoples of African descent who prospered during a time when white America lynched, openly discriminated against, raped, murdered, tortured peoples of African descent with impunity. I've seen pictures of hundreds of people around the guy that they lynched. They burned, dismembered him, and whatever kind of thing they did to him. They just standing there like, that's okay. I've never seen that in any black community standing around a dead body. They may go see somebody laying on the ground and shot, but nobody's standing around like it's okay. And I'm talking about people of all ages. They standing there like it's not even a life has not even been taken. Said events were public, family, community affairs documented by the pictures taken at some lynchings, right? The only thing Tulsa, Oklahoma lacked was a formidable defense of their community, right? They had everything. It was self-contained, doctors, lawyers, undertakers, schools, whatever, you know, builders, contractors, everything they needed to do, they had it. It was self-contained. They had everything except a defense in a world where they needed a defense. If you have no defense, the predators of the world will marginalize and devour you. And that's what happened. They went to the defense of a black man wrongfully accused, and the rest is history. Do you research on that? Because you can read about Tulsa. Then I found something in the final call, which some people might have a problem with. They say depopulation has been United States policy for centuries, right? Now, if you don't believe that, ask yourself, what happened to the indigenous peoples of North America? Where are they? Because they were coast to coast. Where are the indigenous people? All right? What population dominates in, it's the most dominant population in North America. The United States, well, how did their numbers get so low, right? You don't have to be a historian to figure that out, right? They talked about COVID-19 vaccines are the latest weapons of the depopulation program envisioned by Henry Kissinger in his now infamous secret 1974 National Security Study Memorandum, MSSM 200. MSSM 200. The memo was entitled Implications of Worldwide Population Growth for U.S. Security and Overseas Interests. What the hell are they talking about, right? The memo was entitled Implications for Worldwide Population Growth for U.S. Security and Overseas Interests. Kissinger argued that for America to control the strategic resources of third world nations, it must actively reduce their populations by millions of lives. All right, this is talking about resources and reducing population, right? It's 1974, right? Kissinger argued that for America to control the strategic resources of third world nations, it must actively reduce their population by millions of lives. This is 1974. Everybody talking about Bill Gates and all these other folks. This is 1974. Kissinger simply reinvigorated a strategy that had been successfully deployed for more than 500 years ago, right? They have used several devious means to accomplish their aims, including the poisoning of food and farmland with Agent Orange, right? The infliction of famine and disease, right? The waging of wars and the development of vaccines. I don't know where they got the information from. Let's just say that's true. Does that ring true to anybody? Do we see poisoning of food and farmland with Agent Orange? You know Agent Orange was used, right? And it caused cancer, right? It's a toxin, right? We see famine and disease. Africa was stricken by that, right? Africa was stricken by wars, right? And we have development of vaccines, but we're going to get into that too. They would try to use Africa as a experimental base for the current vaccine, right? Anyway, if I were of the mind that the Earth population needed to be drastically reduced and not by European, I would target Africa for two reasons. I'm not agreeing with what they're saying. I'm just stepping out of my comfort zone, my box, and getting into somebody else's bag, right? If I were of the mind, right? If I was a European and I was looking at the population need to be reduced, so, you know, I would target Africa for two reasons. One, their abundance of resources and Africa's vulnerability, the government, the military, and the economy, and the people. So they're very vulnerable. Their government is vulnerable. They have no military strength. The economy is very vulnerable, and the people are vulnerable, right? That's why you would take your experimental vaccine over there and shoot it up in some of these kids over there, African kids or females or whatever, right? In short, Africa appears to be an easy target, right? Because they're vulnerable. They can't defend themselves, right? And they have internal strife and disunity, right? So add that with the idea that I don't value African lives, and that makes them a primary target, right? I don't value you either, but I value what you have. What do you do? What happens? You got a bully walking down the street. He don't value you, but he wants that $20 in your pocket. He's coming after you to take that $20 out of your pocket. Same thing in, right? And of those two things, with my fear of African power and possible retribution, I'd say Africans must remain a marginalized people while their continent is raped of its resources for my personal gain and profit. I have to marginalize them because these are things I'm going to have to do to them that people can't be looking at them the way they look at me. They can't be on the same level as me mentally. Even if you say they are, you have to not view them that way in your actions, right? So African nations must remain divided to support the marginalization of their power, right? Of their existence. Some might say, that is evil genius. Maybe evil genius and politics are one and the same. However, Africans must not be inspired by optical influences portraying the African continent dwarfing European continents. And you might say, what the hell is that about? What the hell has that got to do with anything? Well, it's a psychological thing, right? Here you go, from brilliantmaps.com. Africa's true size is 30 million square kilometers, just under twice the size of Russia or bigger than Canada, the United States, and China put together, right? Visualcapitalist.com, a source place, United States, Eastern Europe, India Part 2, China Part 2. I don't even know what those Part 2s are. But I'm not good at geography, and I don't really know the globe that well. I never heard of China, India Part 2 and China Part 2. But Japan, Portugal, Spain, France, Germany, Italy, and the UK all within the borders of Africa, right? A source. Somebody put all of those nations per their size, right? United States, Eastern Europe, India Part 2, China Part 2, Japan, Portugal, Spain, France, Germany, Italy, and the UK, United Kingdom, right, within the borders of Africa. Today's infographic comes from Kai Cruz, and it shows the true size of Africa as revealed by the borders of the countries that can fit within the continent shape, they said, right? And it was a picture, and they had the countries all in there. You can Google it. The African continent has a land area of 30.37 million square kilometers, 11.7 million square miles. Oh, I don't know what that is. Square million miles, I guess. Or meters. I don't know what that is. MI. I don't know if that's miles or meters. I don't know what that is. Enough to fit the U.S., Canada, India, Japan, Mexico, and many European nations combined, right? So they got this little, so from CNN, on a typical world map, Canada is a vast nation, home to six time zones. Its endless plain spread from ocean to ocean, dominating great swaths of the northern half of the globe. But in reality, three Canadas would comfortably fit inside of Africa, right? Our world map is misleading. It's all down to the European, it's all due to the European cartographer Gert de Cremer, better known as Mercator, and his 16th century map projection, a common template for world maps today, which distorts the size of countries. Right? A map made by Europe for Europe. On the Mercator map, Africa, sitting on the equator, reasonably undistorted, is left looking much smaller than it really is. But Canada, Russia, the United States, and Europe are greatly enlarged European countries, right? The distortion is largest near the poles, Greenland, which looks about the same size as the whole of Africa on the Mercator, is a classic example. In truth, it is no bigger than the Democratic Republic of Congo. The European and North American countries are large is no accident. The fact that they are large is no accident. It said this system provided more space for Western cartographers to make towns, cities, and roads, etc., in their part of the world. If you would take the map projection with equal areas, there is almost no space on the map to display all these city details, right? It's a political tool, right? One of the dangers of the Mercator map is that it can make enlarged countries seem unnaturally powerful and intimidating, all right? So only a warmonger is going to look at this way. The term power of representation and representation of power sums up quite well how maps and the rise of the Western nation state system and with that empire and colonialism are linked, right? So the maps, the Western national state system and empire and colonialism are linked together, says Moran Franklin, professor of global media and politics at Goldsmiths University of London, right? European imperialism, perhaps spurred by a map projection that reinforced the notion of self-importance held by those nations. The world maps that prevail today have been embedded in Western imagination since the British Empire. They continue to prevail despite many challenges to their fairness and accuracy because they underpin the ongoing Anglo-Euro-American presumption that the world belongs to them, right? And pivots around these geocultural axes, right? This is white supremacy, right? This war is on all levels. In recent times, maps have been used for propaganda, right? They say take the Russian map. If you take the Mercator projection where Russia looks huge, give it a bright red color, and then compare it to the rest of Europe, you see how dangerous it can look. What is this? That's war. That's only a warmonger would think of some stuff like that. You know how some animals are when they're threatened, they make themselves bigger. You know, so that's a primitive. That's a very primitive concept. And I mean, it works in nature, but why are these guys thinking about war all the time? To the victor goes the spoil of war, right? And map drawings are no exception, right? Even maps are tools of war. Big trumps little in the minds of the fearful and the power hungry. Therefore, the continent of the African people, they marginalize, must also be minimized. How dare they have anything that much greater than their European conquerors? I want you to think that you're bigger than them at all in any way, right? This is provocative thought. This is not the author. We're going to be going on to this provocative thought commentary. Is it really that scary to have something greater than the colonizers? Would the mere size of Africa cause Africans to rally together and become an economic and military power? Possibly a united Africa catering to the world economy? That is a threat if you are in power. That brings more meaning to divide and conquer and is indicative of the potential power and danger of African unity. The continent has the potential to sustain most of the world, and yet it remains powerless in the world arena, right? Soon, it will not be capable of farming food resources for its own population, estimated to be equivalent to 40% of the world population by the end of the century. That is a population of about 4.2 billion by the end of the century. Yet, it has enough land, if developed, Africa could feed most of the world. That is the reason for Africans and their descendants to remain marginalized, particularly in their own minds. The African Globe, right, says 1.8 billion babies will be born in Africa over the next 35 years, and the total African population will nearly quadruple to about 4.2 billion by the end of the century, right? As I said, some people are concerned about two things, a country's economic growth and population growth, right? Because your economic growth means that, and your population growth means that you could nurture a military, right? But I don't know how you're going to go from getting leftover military supplies from the warmongers to having nuclear weapons. Like, that, what's that dude named Kim? He's trying to make some nuclear weapons now to reach wherever he wants to reach, right? When really the real task is not to go to war, not to plan to make war. The United States has all these bombs. Russia has all these bombs. These guys lining up at the border over there in Europe trying to I don't know what they're trying to do over there, but the end result is death with the toys they playing with. And what's that all about? Until recently, the UN had predicted that one-third of the world's children would be living in Africa by mid-century. So that's scary, because if they become populated, their population increases, and their economic power increases, and say in terms of Africa, if they develop the ability to fertilize, to irrigate their lands so that they can provide enough food to feed Africa and other countries, that's a problem, right? I don't think Monsanto would like that. They're trying to control the seeds that you use to plant food, right? After they say Africa could reap a massive demographic dividend from its bigger labor force and relatively fewer dependents, the report says. The population boom could transform the continent, breaking centuries of cycles of poverty and inequality. Woo! Don't want to do that. These can't give these guys any power. Right? We have to keep them marginalized in their minds, in their economics, in everything that they do. So, from provocative thought again, the combination of a booming population, natural resources, and unity sounds like Africa could be on its way to becoming an economic power, an economic world power, if certain investments are made. In this article, investing in the children of Africa is as crucial as investing in developing land capable of producing enough food to feed Africa. All right? Investing in the children, that means teaching children, educating children, giving them strong ethical and moral foundations and information to help them help themselves. Kind of like, as I said, Black Wall Street did, right? Because you can't just keep talking about how you're being marginalized and being oppressed and yada, 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 because you never get to the point where you unite and start working together and do what you can do for yourself. Because, as I said, I like the example. That was in the 1921 Black Wall Street. And I'm telling you, they was lynching people and taking pictures of it. That's the time they lived in. And we got pictures now, but they under the different circumstances. Somebody was around with a cell phone taking that picture. It's not that way. Understand? They still coming into people's houses, murdering people, but it's a little different. Then it was more overt, straight up. You get lynched for anything, really. Just as investing in children in the Black community is crucial, just as investing in children in the Black community is crucial, critical to the success and survival and enhancing of black people by black people. The children are the future. All right, we need to take a look at what we do with our children, what we expose them to, what we allow them to do, what we do not allow them to, what it is viewed as positive or negative, favorable or unfavorable, from birth. Because destroy the children and you destroy the future of a nation. So you don't have to worry about all those old cats that's talking all that good stuff about unity or collective economics. You don't got to worry about them if you destroy the minds of the children of those people, because they have no future. If the minds of the children is destroyed, that people will be a destroyed people. They have no future because we all in this thing together. You can kill them in many ways. Kill the mind, the spirit, the body, or the child. Birth control, murder, poverty, starvation, disease, misinformation, and division. Many ways. And we got all that going on right here. A lot of birth controls are connected to eugenics, murder, Chicago, Texas, Louisiana, I think they got a high murder rate. And, of course, Philadelphia, over 500 in 2021. It's ridiculous. Poverty, starvation, and I still see commercials of little black kids starving in countries. Disease, that's worldwide. Now we have, COVID-19, right? Misinformation, you can relate that to everything that I'm talking about, even this COVID situation. And division, same thing. We are divided with this COVID thing. And the division is something we don't need. We need the truth. And we don't need liars in position to perpetuate something that's harmful to us. The best time to start a war is before it has been officially declared. In fact, the best time to start a war is when peace has been declared. It's even better when you are perceived to come in the best interest of the target population. When the weapon is something they perceive to be in their interest, right? That's how you get rid of the competition. You abort them before they reach for full development. The fewer mouths there are to feed means less warriors to defend. Mind, you warriors exist in many fields. Mind you, warriors exist in many fields: spiritual, educational, political, science, medical, social, psychological, right? At all levels of society. Oneness has no racial hierarchy, and it is not oppressive. I'm not sure if I sound like I'm on a soapbox tonight. If anybody want to interject anything, feel free to press 1. I'm sorry about the soapbox thing, but this is a very important subject, and marginalization of people of African descent. As far as I'm concerned, I can see the reason why. And if I put myself in the place of Europeans, I'm going to maintain that marginalization of these people, because they could overcome me. I don't want to be overcome. Just imagine you have a mansion all over the country. You control things. You're thinking and moving things. How many people want to give that up, or a part of it up? How many people get invited to some guy's house that has a big swimming pool, right? Who gets invited to that? You don't even get invited to that. They don't want you there. So they don't want you. They want you right where you're at. And they might not want you there. They might want you in the ground. It sounds like that's what's happening here to African peoples. Because everything that I just mentioned are things that cause the untimely death of African peoples, peoples of African descent. Right? They say, from Citizen Go, mapping Africa's natural resources. Another reason why you want to marginalize Africans. Africa's natural resources. Africa is a key territory on the global map. Rich in oil and natural resources, the continent holds a strategic position, they say. What? Rich in oil and natural resources, Africa is the world's fastest growing region for foreign direct investment. It has approximately 30% of the Earth's remaining mineral resources. Right? It's the home of more than 40 different nations and around 2,000 languages, right? Sub-Saharan Africa has 6 of the world's 10 fastest growing economies. North Africa has vast oil and natural gas deposits. The Sahara holds the most strategic nuclear ore. Now, whoever's looking for that is a madman, right? And resources such as coltan, gold, and copper, and many others are abundant on the continent, right? The region is full of promise and untapped riches, from oil and minerals, land to vast amounts of people capital. Vast amounts of people capital, right? Yet it has struggled since colonial times to truly realize its potential, right? Oil and gas. Africa is home of 5 of the world's top oil-producing countries, with an estimated 57% of Africa's export earnings from hydrocarbon that's made from oil, right? Algeria, Angola, Cameroon, Chad, Republic of Congo, Egypt, Eritrea, Gabon, Ghana, Kenya, Libya, Nigeria, South Sudan, Tanzania, Mozambique are all rich in oil and gas. So why would I give power to these people? So you gotta like the people did. I'm just using them as an example. They were marginalized of individuals in the United States in the 1900s, and they got together and they created their own community and their own support network. That's what we need to do. And we got to start trusting somebody, and we got to start living in a way that people do trust us, right? Anyway, proven oil reserves have grown by almost 150%, increasing from 58.4 billion barrels since 1980 to 130.3 billion barrels by the end of 2012. So it's probably more than that. It's 2022 now, right? The region is home of 5 of the top 30 oil-producing countries in the world and nearly, what's that, 2 ton of investments are expected by 2036. I don't know what that means. That a dollar sign, 2, and a TN. Excuse my ignorance. Other resources in Africa besides oil and gas. Africa is rich in precious minerals, forests, and diamonds. Right? Talk about the. I'm just going to go through what they're rich in because I don't really don't have a lot of time. Rich in diamonds, gold, nickel, and uranium, right? And uranium, I think they use that for bombs too. Pozzolana, I don't know what that is. Fish, right? Timber, titanium, graphite. That's the new wave stuff right there. That's the micro technology, right? Tobacco, iron ore, phosphates, aluminum and gas, right? Copper, right? That's all. That's a lot of the stuff that make the world go round, right? So, check this out. Thing called the Executive Intelligence Review. Henry Kissinger's 1974 plan for food control, right? First, King George VI had created in 1944 to consider what measures should be taken in the national interest to influence the future trend of population. The commission found that Britain was gravely threatened by the population growth in its colonies, since a populous country has decided advantages over a sparsely populated one for industrial production. The combined effects of increasing population and industrialization in its colonies, it warned, might be decisive in its effects on the prestige and influence of the West, especially affecting military strength and security. All right? So that's a white, that's a, basically it's a threat to white supremacy, right? On December 10th, 1974, the National Security Council under Henry Kissinger, right, completed this all classified 200-page study, right? The National Security Memorandum 200, right? The study falsely claimed that population growth in the so-called lesser developed countries, LDCs, was a grave threat to U.S. national security. Adopted as an official policy in November 1975 by President Gerald Ford, oatmeal man, right? The NSSM, right, 200 outlined a covert, right, sneaky, right, underhanded plan to reduce population growth in those countries through birth control and also implicitly war and famine. The NSSM 2000 similarly concluded that the United States was threatened by population growth in the former colonial sector. It paid special attention to 13 key countries in which the United States had a special political and strategic interest: India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Indonesia, Thailand, the Philippines, Turkey, Nigeria, Egypt, Ethiopia, Mexico, Brazil, and Colombia. It claimed that population growth in those states was especially worrisome, since it would quickly increase their relative political, economic, and military strength. Do y'all see where I'm going? Kissinger advocated to deal with this alleged threat most with birth control and related population reduction programs. That's just a nice set way of saying we got to get rid of these. Some of these people have to die. They have to go. Some people, we got to stop from coming here. And other people, we got to do something with them, right? He also warned that population growth rates were likely to increase appreciably before they began to decline, even if such measures were adopted. A second measure was curtailing food supplies, right, to target states, in part to force compliance with birth control policy. You ain't going to get no food. We're going to starve you. It's something like what this guy Biden said to people here about the vaccine. We're going to starve you if you don't take this vaccine. They say we're going to starve you if you don't practice, you don't take this birth control pill. Right? So that's what you're dealing with. All right? And then we have from Citizen Go again. They talked about Bill Gates and the WHO. Now, I mentioned this thing about, I don't know if I mentioned it about experimentation. I think I did. Bill Gates and the WHO, hands off Africa, right? Said, while everyone is worried about the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, it is more worrying to see the focus on having Africa get the pilot testing of a possible vaccine, right? Africans are being targeted, are being treated and viewed as test objects without human dignity. This has emboldened medics from France and the UK who think a trial test should be done in Africa.
Basically, the Africans have been marginalized, and the marginalization of Africans has made these people from France and the UK more bolder, right? They don't even care. They don't care. They just, let's give it to them. Give it to Mikey, right? So apparently they filed a petition and sent a firm message to Bill Gates, to the Bill Gates Foundation and the WHO, the World Health Organization, that Africa is not a test lab. Africans are people with human dignity, and Africans will not be used to try vaccines whose purpose is not known. This petition asking the WHO and Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to keep trial vaccines out of Africa. That sounds like a united Africa, which to me put myself in the white power structure, the wealthy. Ain't talking about dude down South Philly, North Philly or west side of Chicago. We ain't talking about them. I'm the wealthy white guy. I controlling things. I'm shaking and moving things around the whole planet. Now I hear somebody talk about keep vaccines out of Africa, a place that I already divvied up, conquered. To me, that's a threat. Anyway, seems like from provocative. So it seems like these guys are looking so far in the future while people of African descent are trying to secure a future in the chaotic present. Even so, some Africans still had the state of mind to rationalize their situation and stand up to the colonizer by refusing to be guinea pigs in the vaccine experiment or any experiment. I wonder what the repercussion for their refusal will be. Because what comes after that is we're going to cut funding or something. Something you're not going to get, something, food or medical supplies or something you're not going to get. Which is more reason for Africans to develop Africa together. Because you should, with all the resources that Africa has, a little hard work, a lot of hard work, will be worth it, working together. Get rid of these people, even in Africa, who want to divide Africa, who want to treat people poorly and dominate people. If the population of these countries, of those countries, were a threat to the United States in 1974, right? In 1975, the projected population and possible economic growth in Africa is a threat to the United States today. Remember, race was created to validate the enslavement, rape, torture, disenfranchisement of African captives and their descendants till this day. It is a hell of a coincidence that Africa has suffered war, famine, agriculture issue, food, corruption, extermination, and experimentation and subjugation. The hell of a coincidence. How could a once powerful continent, rich in resources, be so poor and powerless in a world power kind of a way? It appears Africa continues to be bombarded with colonization, subjugation, corruption, and separation. This results in marginalization. If you have no power, you cannot show your power and are therefore unable to stop the invaders from raping your lands as your ancestors once did. You had no power, you have no power against your aggressor. Remember, Hannibal and the Punic Wars, 500 years. The Zulu Nation, Kushite warrior, ancient Kemet, referred to as Egypt by the colonizers. We're better than this. Anyway, in 2018, Bill and Melinda Gates were also quoted lamenting that the progress toward reducing poverty is threatened by the presence of too many poor people, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa. All right, so that means we got all kinds of things coming at us. And now they come in with this thing about population growth in sub-Saharan Africa. So that means they want to get rid of some people there. They want to birth control, restrictions, you know, you won't get this, you won't get that if you don't comply with controlling your population growth, right? Anyway. According to the radical abortion group, Women Delivered, Director Adhanom Tedros has been a champion of gender equality with a record of dramatically increasing contraceptive prevalence and legalizing abortion. His tenure as Ethiopia's health minister, right? This makes Africa more worried considering the working relationship he has with Bill Gates. While everyone is worried about the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, it is more worrying to see the focus on having Africa get the pilot testing of a possible vaccine. Africans are being treated and viewed as test objects without human dignity. This has emboldened the medics, as I said before, in Europe, to do this, but hey, because they have no protection. They are marginalized. A marginalized anything is an unprotected entity. Nobody values you. So black folks all over the world, you value you. You do you. That's what needs to happen. You need to do you. Okay, so come together. We got to put these guns down. Got to put the hatred to side. We let those wounds heal, and we have to do something different because what we're doing right now is not working. We're like somebody just hurting ourselves. All right, so with another guy that had a solution, I'm not going to have enough time to even get to this. But talked about now it's far easier to control people than ever before. They said you sideline them by programming them to engage in self-sabotage and self-destructive behavior. And this is from Dylan Charles on January 11, 2002, right? By Walking Times website. You got an article. It's now infinitely easier to control a billion people than it is to kill a billion people. The original statement was it's easier to kill a billion people than it is to control a billion people, right? How do you do that? Mind control. Mind control comes in many forms, but in essence, it is the ability to get people to believe, think, and act against their natural impulses and in accordance with an imposed agenda, right? Keep that in mind. American psychologist and professor Emeritus at Stanford University, Philip Zimbardo refers to mind control as the process by which individual or collective freedom of choice and action is compromised by agents or agencies that modify or distort perception, motivation, affect, cognition, and behavioral outcomes, right? His background is breaking on research. His groundbreaking research project, Stanford Prison Experiment, demonstrated that most people are highly susceptible to the influence of group behavior and that many of us would go as far as to harm others just to be in compliance with the directives of someone in a perceived position of authority. All right, so that right there, you may see happening. I know I had an argument with Dad about music. And but I was taking into account some things myself. You know, with my friend, we had a conversation. And it said, but that's very real. The people are influenced by groups and things like that. He talked about mass psychosis. People living in the dark cloud of disillusionment are easily influenced and will readily sacrifice their own health and well-being in defense and difference to the advice and mandates of experts and policymakers who pimp fear, then offer a phony respite from it, right? Then he goes into how you dumb down the population, which I'm not going to have time. If you dumb down the population with chemical sedatives, including alcohol, pharmaceuticals, and toxic foods and ingredients, right? We have to learn how to eat to live, live to eat, eat to live, right? We have to take care of our bodies better, right? Monopolize the media under corporate control, present-based toxic opinions as news 24 hours a day, deliberately creating division and discord among the majority of the population. And I'm running out of time. I don't really have much to go. But basically, you're talking about divide and conquer, but now it's a mental attack. So basically, this guy's saying we're being attacked mentally, and we must be aware of that. And we must become stronger mentally, because mentally strong, you become stronger spiritually. Spiritually strong, you become stronger mentally, actually, and it shows up in how you function. Even if you don't have to become a billionaire to be functioning at your highest capacity, you just have to be a decent person. We'd take a halfway decent person right about now, because what we got running around a certain segment going in certain communities is unacceptable. So with all that being said, I just want to thank anybody for calling in, anybody who's downloaded the show. Remember, you can download the show at any time, right? And I want to thank Blog Talk Radio, We Talk Productions, Mr. Keith Jones for allowing me to host the show, all my callers and listeners, each one reach one, each one teach one. Remember, we must save ourselves and do that as you pray, as you do it. But you have to, you know, you have to work toward that. And we have to change our perception of us, you know, some of us. Some of us have don't have a marginalized perception of us or our existence. And it's not accepting of that either. So until next week, y'all, I just want to say peace out. And thank you for listening to the show. Feel free to call at any time. Peace.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Hart, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck on The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.